Good morning, day or night, whatever time you're listening to this podcast episode. This is Andrea with the Andrea Effect, and I hope you're having a beautiful, beautiful day. Vulnerability is a superpower. What do I mean? Vulnerability, people being able to show their vulnerability isn't something that comes natural. Why? Because people have used people's pain and they use it as ammunition. And people who have been affected by that, which I would assume would be every person who hasn't fully dealt with that vulnerability. Let's just say, I don't know, you're a slow reader or, you know, I'm just trying to think of something. And, you know, with that being said, I think, you know, you would probably never read a lot again. You would definitely never show that. You would maybe not even read books. I mean, there's a lot of things. So, you know, someone sharing a divorce, somebody sharing an infidelity of their partner with you, right? You go and you talk to a girlfriend, you're like, you know, we've been married so many years and my wife cheated or my husband cheated, or as a man, right, talking about his wife cheating and how that can affect us. That vulnerability, if in the wrong hands, can become ammunition for somebody to throw that back in your face in a very hurtful way. So we don't ever want to share those things. So the people who decide that, hey, you know what? I did get cheated on. Hey, you know what? He did just use me, right? There's a lot of vividores, a lot of men out there, and women alike, who will just kind of mooch off their partner. And all that time, that partner thinks they're building something, and that guy's jumping from woman to woman to just see who's going to basically be a roommate or whatever. Or the woman, and you know, the woman could be. Or the divorce, the person that went through the infidelity. Or, you know, let's go back to the reader, right? This person that holds that vulnerability, if you are not able to make peace with that, it'll always be the skeleton in your closet. It'll always be a shadow. Think of your body as a temple. And think that the very top of your head is this beautiful light. And that beautiful light you have trickling down all through your being, all the way down your spinal cord. And when you have that, that is your true being. High energy, all of this stuff, alignment. And when you put blocks in there, right? You put blocks of fear, of those skeletons in your closet, of carrying that baggage. You start to create shadows, right? Shadows on the left, shadows on the right. It starts to cast a shadow, and then the light dims. That light within you that you were born with dims. It gets filled up with, let's say you had to be on the defense, if it gets filled up with ego. And because of that, there's a lot of people carrying baggage that I believe can change somebody completely from who they really are spiritually and soul aligned. I believe there's good in everybody. I believe there is good in everybody, and people's shittiness in the world is a reflection of trauma and baggage that they're carrying. And if you're not going to address those and you're not going to work with those are going to become your weakness. But if you are willing to work through it, work with a professional, work with a church member, work with a friend, a therapist, somebody, something, coach, through these processes, you're going to transmute that. You're going to grab each and every darkness or piece of baggage, and you're going to transmute it one at a time. And it may take years. And they may all group together, and they may all be grouped in 1 year. And some may take 10, and some may take 20. Depending how heavy that is for you. How heavy you took it. How you're processing it. If you're processing it. But, you know, we're talking about you are. And when you're able to transmute something, when you're able to find a solution to the problem, when you're able to say, let's go around this wall. Let's go right through the fucking wall. Let's go over that hill. Let's deal with the obstacle, with the baggage, with the block, with the item creating that shadow. That's powerful. And so expressing your vulnerabilities, like I said, is superpower. Talking about them, discussing them, sharing the process of you overcoming them. You have very enlightened people in the world saying, you don't need to carry any of that. It exists. That's true. But to fully believe it, to believe it on a rough day, to believe it on in the early parts of your healing journey may not be so believable. You may see someone so happy and say, oh, they're just so fake. You may see somebody so kind, so sweet, so nice, so loving, and say they're fake. Because maybe you ran into somebody who was very nice and they hurt you. Or they disappointed you. Or maybe holding yourself accountable, you brought out the fucking ugliest in that person to confirm the narrative you want to tell yourself. That nobody's happy, that nobody deserves that, that doesn't really exist. Me personally, I think I like to be respectful of people. I like to be giving. It's in my, that is my natural state of being. But when provoked, I can go very, very cold and I can't tell you why. I think it may just be some type of self-preservation to not feel that rejection or pain. It's something I am working through, but it could very well be I've seen this before. You don't love me, you're just poking around curiously to see if I am who I say I am, and I walk the talk and this, and you're provoking to bring out the ugly to turn and point to the rest of the world to say, see, she's not so nice. I will fucking take your head off if provoked, right? Like, my energy is so powerful and I choose it for the well-being. I don't choose it to harm. Because I grew up so violent, I don't choose violence. I always choose peace now that I realize I have an option. And that's my happy, that's where I feel comfortable. That's my happy place. But we all know how to fight. We all know how to defend ourselves. And I think people, when they are in a very bad state of mind, when they are determined to play the victim and tell themselves this narrative and say, well, aren't you supposed to help people since this is what you do for a living? A very dismissive type thing. You know, when you encounter vulnerability and you're like, I haven't quite deciphered this yet. This is a lot I'm processing. And you share that with someone and they say that. Well, aren't you a business owner? Well, aren't you a coach? Well, aren't you supposed to be doing this? That tells me that they are just there to prove that's all bullshit. And I'm here to say it's all real. It's a real process. I want you to go back to that vision I was talking about of the light being, right? Like, just think of, I don't know, just think like there's an open crown on the very top of your beautiful little head. And you have a flashlight shining down right there. It's going all the way into your persona. All the way down to your feet. Someone's looking in, right? Like a little cave. And when you have that, it shines all the way down. You're glowing. But then you throw trauma, abuse, poverty, homelessness, hurt, pain, deception, betrayal. The heavy things of the world of others that you've taken on. And it starts to create, let's just say, you know, from your head down to your toes, you have 10 little things. Those things I listed, imagine them as little balls. So light doesn't shine down anymore. It starts to be reflected. There's some light in there. And so once you start to remove those things or work on them and address them, they get smaller. And so the light shines brighter. But the more you ignore them, the more you grow them, the more you are committed to being angry about the situation and blaming the world with a chip on your shoulder about that situation and saying, see, I'm enraged, I'm angry. And sometimes even misplaced hate. To confirm that narrative you keep telling yourself, that only grows bigger and bigger. And so you dim your light. And guess what happens when you dim your light? You start to attract others who will dim your light, who have their light dim as well. And so this low, darker vibration. And let me tell you, darkness is not always bad. Darkness and fierceness and power can be dark too. It just really depends on how you choose to use that, right? I have $121 million coming in. And that money, be like, oh, people get rich and they become horrible. No, it's accentuated. It's accentuated. I don't know J.K. Rowling, but I know she became a millionaire. And, you know, she went through some things. And she's very happy to donate and be charitable and still maintain herself, of course. Who expects her to give and be left with nothing. But this type of thing is, you know, it accentuates that. And so whatever you have inside of you, you're going to create the environment around you. So some people may be yelling things, you know, that victim card or that victim mindset or that pobrecita, pobrecito. And so, of course, you're going to keep in that cycle. You're going to eat, breathe, and live things that believe that. And anything that's not that, that's light. Anybody who's healing themselves, who's doing that work, they're going to irritate you. Like, oh my gosh, it's so fake. Because you can't resonate. It's not true. You don't believe or trust that. And granted, I will confirm, you guys do know when someone's being inauthentic. But when you're able to work on your journey, truly your journey, like go for a year not dealing, talking with nobody, doing your thing, what happens is you start to learn compassion. You start to learn that the shitty things that people do, the less desirable parts, of them. What's up with me? I can't speak today. The less desirable parts of them are actually something they're working through. And so when you're healing, you start to have compassion for others because you've had compassion for yourself. I think these are, I think, you know, there's also cliche, but trust the process. I want you to love the process. I want you to laugh at it. I want you to be like, oh my God, Okay, I'm so triggered. I need to work through this. I got this. Be your own bestie. Please. Because you're going to have to live with yourself. Your spouse can leave. Your children will leave. Let's just say you didn't have kids. Let's say you're not married. Your parents pass and you're just there. You're going to have to live with yourself. And I don't mean like, oh, go spend, you know, thousands and make it materialistic, a relationship. I mean, look at you where you're wrong. Look at yourself on the things that keep coming up. Everyone around me does this. Think of that one thing that really triggers you and work on that. It really triggers me when people play dumb, right? It really triggers me when people play the martyr. Pobrecita girl. Oh, look at me. Like the victim. Why? Because I was in that place for so long. And so I can recognize when someone's doing it. Because it's manipulative. It's kind of borderline gaslighting, narcissistic for some. It's for some that really get into the full victim paper of it. They'll really want to hurt and do it. And I'm talking about women to their husbands as well. Not just, you know, these asshole men to these women. I'm talking about asshole women to men or, you know, whatever sex you want to date. Talking about the mothers to their children. Talking about children to their parents. And so to see that and recognize it, it can trigger me. And it hasn't recently, I feel. So I think that's a little accomplishment. Yay! See if I can go back and insert an applause. Obviously you guys know I do raw vlog and videos and podcasts, so there's no editing in these. But it really brings a light of that, you know, of what I need to work on when I am triggered by something in particular. Because I held so much. I grew up with the victim. I learned that's how I get attention. I learned that's how, my leg hurts, you know, or even a pain or an ailment. Gosh, I remember I hurt my arm, but I milked it. Because I saw that people would give me empathy and pity. And that I was only deserving of that. Not because of my intellect. Not because of any notable things that I can... any contributions. There were no merits to... that would give me the equivalent of... there was nothing I could do that would give me the equivalent of the attention as pity would. And I've had people pass in my life, and I can tell you when I bring it up and people respond, I know, because I've had it done to me, and I've done it where I'll go in manipulatively. And not asking for anything big, you know, but something. And trigger and ask. After I've shared a tragedy, trigger and ask. And then that request is almost instantaneously granted. Because I'm speaking to people. You're working their heartstrings. You're manipulative. I haven't done it in years. But maybe I have and I haven't noticed. But this more recent one within this year, I was like, I have to be careful so they don't think like I'm a sociopath and I don't feel anything, but I don't want to sit there and dwell on the issue, on the sadness, on the tragedy. I want to just kind of discuss it and move forward. But I do want to address it. I do want to discuss it. I do want to say, oh yeah, because I want to learn. I want to learn coping. I want to learn processing. I want to learn people. I want to learn their reaction. Some people, oh, I'm sorry to hear that right there, because they cannot deal with their own emotions. How the fuck are they going to deal with mine? How are they going to deal with me being sad and gloomy when they can't even deal with theirs? So they're out there just ignoring their feelings all the time, looking for constant entertainment and distractions to avoid the feels. I can't be mad at them. That's their journey. I can only decide if I want that in my life or I don't. And on the other hand, you have people who are like, oh, very open heart. Oh my gosh, let me know if I can do anything. Yeah, hey, by the way, could you? I don't know. I didn't ask anybody for anything because I didn't. I'm working on trusting myself to say, okay, what is it you need and what is manipulative? And so I did ask one person, wait, two people, and then two other people offered and just, you know, generously gave. And I didn't expect that at all. So that was very nice. You know, they gave me like flowers and somebody gave me food, like little things like that. But it mean a lot to me because it's a token of I'm with you. I see you. I heard you. Right? It's a validation, but on a more deeper level versus like, give me a like because I'm showing my mother terapia success, whatever. And it still gives, it feels that, feeds that, superficially, just right on the top, but it works. And, I think once I started to see that, I had to be very careful that I realized the power that has. I realized, man, these are people get hurt so much. But thank God, like, they're in my space that I would not abuse that from them. I would not prey on their weaknesses, that I will not use their vulnerability, which is their overgiving heart themselves, and use that as ammunition when I had the ability to do that. I think that's why God always takes care of us. I know that's why God takes care of me. God sees how you treat his angels. God sees how you treat his kids. I don't mean because you open a book every day and you read a verse or two. I mean because you treat everybody like if God was standing right next to you. And you can't see through his eyes because you're not God. But everybody, remember that light I was talking about? Everybody has the capacity to have Christ consciousness within them. But things get in there over the years, generationally, and they block that light. And what I'm saying today is remove those blocks. Rewrite this year before this year ends. 60 more days. 60 some more days. Remove that. Make it smaller. Address one thing. Ask yourself why you are the way you are. Do not bring in anybody within the first, I want you to ask yourself 7 times. And I don't want you to bring up anybody as to why you do what you do, at least for the first 5 whys. And let's say you get down and you're like, well, my mom did that. And my dad did that. My grandma did that. My grandpa did that. My sister did that. I didn't have anyone to look up to. I learned it as survival. I grew up in foster care. I grew up in whatever it is. I grew up in a cult. I grew up in a church. I grew up in you know, extreme organized religion, whatever it is, like however you grew up, then go into wise for them. I know. Oh my God, my stomach turned. It's uncomfortable. Excuse me. Oh my goodness, how embarrassing. You hear everything on this. I heard my recording once before. And that happened. It's uncomfortable. See what I just said right there? I let something. Oop, it's coming up. I broke it with a joke. I broke the ice. I didn't sit in the quietness and the uncomfortableness because it was too much to burden for my heart. Because I'm still working this formula I just gave you, I'm still working that process. Y me pesa muchas cosas, pero no tantas como antes. A lot of these burdens can feel heavy on my heart. And they can feel heavy, especially when I try to push them down. And as I release them, I realize, as heavy as they are, the ones that I still have, I release so many. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I've converted vulnerability into a superpower. I'm thankful that I've created less desirable parts of my journey in life into tokens instead of pain, gratitude. Authentically. The ones I don't and I can't, there's still some in there, right? Oh, I got a lot of baggage. I think in our 30s, we all may have it. What's more important to me, for me, and what I want to invite you to see it as something important for yourself, is starting somewhere to address those things that dim our light. If you think of something, you're like, oh, it's because so-and-so, it's because so. No, you didn't do this. What point do we start taking accountability? Because that goes hand-in-hand. Accountability, authenticity, and then we jump all the way to B. Vulnerability. These things are all intercombined. And I have a document showing that, AAV. And the process, right? And I'm going to share it. I'm going to share it because I think that giving life to others, converting, tragedies, pains into light, transmuting it, transforming it, versus sitting on it and letting that be our only narrative of life, is a superpower. And I think that's worthy of discussion. And I think that's worthy to share with the world. Because it is healing. And as healers, there's nothing better than to see that you help somebody find peace in their soul, in their spirit, in their mind, in their person. They light up. People light up. People light up after talking to a healer. It's the most beautiful thing in the whole wide world. And I'm so grateful that I'm able to share this story with you, that I'm able to share my story with you little by little, and formulas and steps and processes to show how you can do this for yourself, how you can understand others you are in the world, and if you don't feel there's anything you need to work on at this time. which I would ask you to go right back to the beginning of this and listen to. I love you guys very much. Don't forget to follow me on all my social medias at the Andrea Effect. AndreaEffect.com is the website that is being revamped, but you can catch me on IG, Snap, TikTok, Facebook, and of course you can always email me at hello@theandreaeffect.com. Muchas besitos, muchas bendiciones. Vamos a echarle ganas. Ganas.